This is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 25th, 2016. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Prognosis Preventable. Lesson Learned, Don't Wait to Get Cancer Screening. Bob Fleeter had every intention of getting a colonoscopy. Fleeter, a Mount Zion resident and former member of the Illinois House of Representatives, was due for one when something else came up during a routine physical exam: prostate cancer. Fleeter, 58, wasn't shocked. There's a history of cancer in his family. His dad had prostate cancer and died of lung cancer, and his mom is a 30-year survivor of intestinal cancer. But it was only when a CAT scan looking at his prostate revealed an abnormality in his lower abdomen that doctors discovered the colon cancer. "I'd always been an advocate of getting checkups and early detection," Fleeter said. "I should have done it a long time earlier. I planned on it, but I didn't. Then the prostate situation became a priority. A colonoscopy showed polyps that had spread cancer to his colon." Fleeter was referred to Dr. Ranjo Singh. Singh is a colorectal surgeon for Decatur Memorial Hospital, and there's no bigger proponent for early detection of colon cancer. Singh has made it his mission to educate the public in Macon County about the importance of colonoscopies. He's part of the push from the American Cancer Society to screen 80% of those at risk for colon cancer by 2018. Colon cancer is the only cancer that's 100% preventable, as long as you follow the screening guidelines, Singh said. "I want to help educate society and the community, and March is a big push for us because it's colorectal cancer awareness month. We have to step up as doctors and get this information out there, or we're never going to reach 80%. Colorectal cancer is the third leading cause of death in men and women in the United States. There are rarely symptoms early, but colonoscopies will find the polyps that can transform into cancer. Still, only 62.5% of eligible people in Illinois get regular colonoscopies. It's recommended that a colonoscopy be scheduled at age 50, the age when polyps often start forming, if one hasn't already been performed. For blacks, the recommended age is 45. While major progress in screening numbers have been made in the past 10 years, particularly in Macon County, according to Dr. James Wade, a medical oncologist for cancer care specialists of Central Illinois, Singh said not only do many of the general public not realize how important colonoscopies are, some primary care physicians aren't stressing it to their patients. Some have trained in a different era and don't keep up on all the latest recommendations, Singh said. This month we are going to each and every primary physician's office, giving a talk and handing out a pamphlet with information on colorectal cancer. Because a lot of times the patients don't know. It's up to their doctor to tell them and encourage them to do it. A lot of people older than 50, though, are aware that they need to get a colonoscopy, but still don't. Many of them, are frightened by the procedure. I ask them, which is more frightening, a half-hour procedure with a day of prep or cancer, Singh said. Others, Singh said, are afraid of the results. Bob Fleeter takes advantage of the nice weather to work in the yard, where he also enjoys chopping wood. He has recovered from prostate and colon cancer. It's a picture of him working in the yard. They tell me their father had an awful experience with colostomy bags, and they don't want that, Singh said. I tell them that's the whole point. You get the test so you can avoid it. There are some who have had colonoscopies in the past who hated the preparation process so much that it discouraged them from doing it again. The bowels have to clear for doctors to properly scan the colon. Preparation involves drinking a laxative that in the past has been tough to swallow. But Singh said while it's not something you're going to pick at the vending machine, the flavor has improved and there are a variety from which to choose. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital gastroenterologist Preeti Jawar said that the general public has a much worse perception of colonoscopies than what they really are. You take clear liquids for a day and a half, and take some medicines to get your bowels cleaned out. It's a little diarrhea, but it saves you from cancer, Jawara said. And you're not even really aware when it's taking place. You're sedated. Leader said for him, it was a matter of not putting the priority on his health he should have. For busy people, a lot of times you just don't slow down to do it, Fleeter said. But it's the most important thing you can do. Wade said a recent study in conjunction with Millikan University found that caregivers to family members with health problems are prime candidates for colorectal cancer. We looked at the patients who failed over the last 10 years and found a significant number were caregivers of a spouse, child, or other family member, Wade said. Sometimes they'd later reported they had symptoms for a year or two but never had it checked. We need to start teaching our hospice staff to watch out for the survivor. When a doctor performs a colonoscopy, they're looking for polyps, small lumps of cells. If they find one, they remove it and perform a biopsy. If cancer is found, the doctor checks to see the depth of the cancer in the polyp and if the disease has spread through the nerves or blood vessels. If the cancer is contained in the polyp, no further action is needed, though the time in between colonoscopies is shortened. The surveillance would be more intense after that, Singh said. We might shorten the time between screenings from 10 years to 3 years. If cancer is found, options depend on how far the cancer has progressed. Fleeters had progressed enough to where he needed surgery to take a significant portion of his colon out. Surgery is the most common form of colorectal cancer treatment. If all the cancer can be removed by the surgeon, the patient is cancer-free. That was the case with Fleeter. It was fortunate that they caught it when they did, Fleeter said. When Dr. Singh told me it hadn't spread, we high-fived. He couldn't wait to tell me the news. He was as elated as I was. If the cancer can't be cut out, other treatments include drugs and radiation. Chemotherapy, drugs that destroy cancer cells, is used for some patients with colon cancer after surgery to lower the chance the cancer could return or spread, and is also used in combination with radiation therapy for some patients who have rectal cancer before surgery. Chemotherapy is also used to improve the survival and quality of life of patients whose colorectal cancer has spread to other organs. According to Wade, although chemotherapy can't cure patients with stage 4 cancer, it can help patients enjoy longer, better lives. Over the years, through research, our treatments have improved significantly, Wade said. What we've learned is that there are treatments that can help patients better than the sledgehammer of chemotherapy we've been using for colon cancer for 50 years. We now have better, more focused treatments for the different subtypes of colon cancer. Radiation therapy is most commonly used in stage 2 or 3 rectal cancers, or in stage 4 when the disease has spread to other organs. By the time they're coming to me, it's usually more advanced situation, said Dr. Harold Yoon, radiation oncologist at the Cancer Care Specialists of Central Illinois. At that point, surgery alone isn't going to take care of it by itself, and they need multiple types of treatments. The percentage of patients surviving colon cancer has risen sharply since the mid-1980s, thanks to improvements in awareness and treatment. Fleeter is living proof. After recovering from colon cancer surgery, Fleeter had surgery on his prostate in late January and is now cancer-free. I have a follow-up visit next month and a couple more tests I need to go through, but the prognosis is very good, Fleeter said. Right now, it's Bob 2, cancer O, and I feel fortunate and blessed about that. Risk factors include being 50 and over, smoking, overweight or obese, especially in stomach, physical inactivity, excessive alcohol consumption, diet high in red or processed meat, family history, personal history of inflammatory bowel disease. Colonoscopies. No explanation is necessary for why many dread colonoscopies, but they're not as horrific as they perceived. Here's the breakdown of what a patient will experience when they get a colonoscopy. Preparation. For 1 to 3 days, patients must follow a clear liquid diet. The day before the procedure, a laxative is given. The bowels must be clean, to properly perform the test. Sedation. There are two types of sedatives, and they're given through an IV. Twilight sleep is a moderate sedation, which has a slight amnesiac effect. The other kind is deep sedation, in which patients are often in a much deeper sleep and won't remember anything about the procedure. Investigation. A tube-like instrument with a light and a lens for viewing, an endoscope, is inserted through the rectum into the colon. Polyp removal. If any polyps are found, they're removed using a variety of methods, mostly with a wire loop biopsy, forceps, or by burning it with an electrical current, which is painless. Some are large enough that they have to be removed in sections. Government and politics. High Court Day mixed for unions. Public unions get mixed rulings at Illinois Supreme Court. Springfield. Two Illinois Supreme Court rulings issued Thursday are a mixed bag for public employee unions. In a case involving two pension funds for Chicago City employees, the state's High Court once again struck down a law that would have reduced pension benefits, mirroring two earlier rulings in cases involving health care benefits and pensions for retired state workers. But in a separate case involving nearly $53 million back wages owed to 24,000 workers in five state agencies, the court ruled that the state isn't obligated to pay because the General Assembly didn't appropriate enough money to cover the expense. The pair of rulings prompted starkly contrasting reactions from the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Council 31, which represents workers in both cases. In a joint statement with three other unions involved in the Chicago case, AFSCME said, "The ruling strengthens the promise of dignity in retirement for those who serve our communities and reinforces the Illinois Constitution, our state's highest law." However, Roberta Lynch, AFSCME Council 31's executive director, called the back pay ruling very disappointing. "This was a case about the principle that someone who works for a living, in this instance, to protect public health, ensure safe prisons, or care for the disabled, should be paid what they are owed for work that they have done," Lynch said in a written statement. "It was also about the integrity of state government, when it enters into a contract, it must live up to its terms." This case stems from then-Governor Pat Quinn's 2011 decision to forgo 2% raises for employees in 14 state agencies because the legislature didn't approve enough money to cover the cost. An arbitrator determined that, regardless of an appropriation, the state had to pay the raises it agreed to in the contract with the union. The state challenged that decision, but lower courts upheld it. As the state made its way through the judicial system, money was found to cover the raises at nine agencies, leaving workers in the departments of Human Services, Corrections, Juvenile Justice, Public Health, and Natural Resources waiting for an average of $2,500 in back pay. The court's ruling, written by Justice Mary Jane Theis, hinges on a portion of the Illinois Public Labor Relations Act that says labor contracts are, quote, "subject to the appropriations power of the employer," end quote. Because the appropriation power of the state resides with the General Assembly, multi-year collective bargaining agreements negotiated with the state are subject to the state's appropriation power as exercised by the General Assembly, the court wrote. In a dissenting opinion, Justice Thomas Kilbridge argued that the ruling could undermine confidence in any state contract, but the majority opinion said it applied narrowly to collective bargaining agreements. The State House and Senate passed separate bills last year that would have authorized payments of back wages, but neither chamber approved the other's version. As for the pension ruling, it underscores what the Supreme Court has already made clear in previous cases involving the Pension Protection Clause of the Illinois Constitution, said Edward Kionka, an emeritus law professor at Southern Illinois University, who represented state retirees in the case involving changes to their health care benefits. "The bottom line is, you can change the pension system all you want for new employees," Kionka said, "but you can't change it for people who are members of the system already." And local on the local page, Annunciation celebrates Patriarch's anniversary. Orthodox bishop visits Decatur. There were a lot of smiles in the basement of the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Parish on Thursday. It was a night of celebration for the parishioners of the Decatur Church. Not only was it the 25th anniversary of the enthronement of Patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople, spiritual leader of Orthodox Christians, but it was also the day before Greece's Independence Day, and it was service of the Great Vespers of the Annunciation, which precedes the Feast of the Annunciation. This is a special day, Annunciation parishioner Paul Chilagiris said. Plus, we're in the middle of Lent, so we're not supposed to eat any meat, including seafood or dairy. But today we get to eat seafood, so we're happy. In honor of the event, Bishop Demetrios of Mykosos, Chancellor of the Greek Orthodox Metropolis of Chicago, visited. Every parish is named after a saint or a feast of the church, and this one is named after the Annunciation, which is when the angel Gabriel was sent to the Virgin to tell her she was going to give birth to Christ, Demetrios said. It's an important feast for the bishop to be present at. Annunciation is a very important day for Orthodox Christians. It's as important as Christmas or the Epiphany. It's one of the great moments in human history, Annunciation Church priest David Einon said. The metropolis of Chicago covers 58 parishes in 6 states in the Midwest. It used to be rare for bishops from the metropolis to visit small churches like the one in Decatur, but Demetrios was established as an auxiliary to Metropolitan Iakovos in 2006. I try to go to every one of our parishes during the year, and I've been here often 9 or 10 times, Demetrios said. It is important for me to be here. We're all members of the same family, and you don't want the Father to be absent. Chilgiris, an archon of the Order of St. Andrew of the Apostle, is from the family that built Annunciation Church and opened it in 1927. The Greek population has dwindled since that time, but the church welcomes all members of the Orthodox Christian faith. It has followers from several different countries, so the Lord's Prayer is spoken in 5 languages: Greek, Romanian, Slavonic, Arabic, and English. We get immigrants from all over Eastern Europe and the Middle East to help keep our church going, Chilagiris said. In education, staying young at heart, alternative spring break closes generation gap. Decatur. The 67-year age difference between Eleanor Ann Pistorius and Angela Benford seemed important only once while they and 11 other women played a friendly hand of an obscure card game called Roll It Out. What happened when Pistorius, 89, raised an index finger and looked at Benford, 22, with suspicion? That happened when Pistorius raised her index finger. How do you know all the rules the first time you're here? She asked. But before Benford could answer, Pistorius filled the silence with laughter by declaring a new rule. We don't allow new people to win, you know. Benford, a senior nursing major at Millikan University, went on to win the first hand of the traditional Thursday afternoon game at Primrose Retirement Community of Decatur as part of her participation in alternative spring break activities available to students this week. She needed to stay in Decatur to finish an internship at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, so she figured she might as well do something good with her spare time. On Tuesday, Benford and other students cleaned up Dennis School's garden and helped prepare it for planting. Organizer Tyler McLean, the university's service and civic engagement coordinator through AmeriCorps Vista, said alternative spring break helped students see how they can make a difference. Kathy Cagley, life enrichment coordinator at Primrose, broke the ice when the students first arrived by having them help 8 residents fill 200 plastic Easter eggs with candy. They finished the job in 30 minutes flat, with a popular topic of conversation being which candy bar is the best. Butterfinger came out on top in that informal contest, the favorite of Benford. Marie Davis, 83, and Mary McCarthy, 91. "I think this is great, and I hope they'll be back," said Jenny Schnocke, 90. "It's nice to have some young people around." "Oh, you're all young," Benford replied. Without missing a beat, McCarthy smiled and demanded she say that again. Kegley observed, "Nothing wrong with her hearing, is there?" The fun continued as some of the egg stuffers, the students, and several more residents began playing Roll It Out, and Ruth Hitchens, 95, was lucky enough to snag a seat next to McLean and coached him along until he got the hang of the game. "This is my first time playing," he told her, "and I'm having a lot of fun." Local briefs. Mattoon, fatal bicycle accident. A bicyclist died after he was hit by a pickup truck just north of Mattoon on Wednesday morning. The bicyclist, Matthew D. Lewis, was pronounced dead at the scene, according to the Coles County Sheriff's Office. The news relief said Lewis was hit by the truck about 6:30 a.m. Wednesday on County Road 850 North, also known as North 33rd Street Road, about a half mile north of DeWitt Avenue in Mattoon. Ross J. Kerr, 55, of Mattoon, was the truck's driver, according to the sheriff's office. The release didn't include Lewis's age or residence. The accident was under investigation. Natural gas leak. The city of Decatur has closed the southbound lanes of the 800 block of North Monroe Street due to a leak in an Ameren, Illinois, natural gas main. The emergency repair work will keep the lanes closed until 4 p.m. Thursday, March 31st. Excuse me. Shelbyville County Health Fair. The Shelby County Health Fair will be held from 9 to 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, March 30th, in Shelby Christian Church, 200 North Hickory Street. More than 30 service providers will be in attendance providing educational information, as well as diabetic, hearing, balance, cholesterol, blood glucose, blood pressure, and grip strength screenings. For more information, call Betty Watkins at 217-774-4322. That's 774-4322. There's a correction. The origin of the shots fired was incorrect in the brief gunfire Nett's arrest on page A3 of the Wednesday Herald and Review. The witness told police the shots came from the area of Portage Place Apartments, the newspaper aired. Goodwill and good night. Ministry makes special effort to give bedroom sets to children. Indicator. Tia Jana Leverson predicted her two young children might actually look forward to bedtime once all of them had a bed of their own. Until last week, the trio had been sleeping together on one large air mattress since the family moved a couple of months ago into a three-bedroom apartment in Wabash Crossing. "They'll be happy to be sleeping in their own rooms," the single mom said. Leverson, 18, and her children are but one of more than two dozen families who have benefited so far from the new initiative of Central Illinois Christians and Mission to help kids up off the floor. The furniture ministry still had about half of the 400 dormitory mattresses donated a year ago by the University of Illinois, and also had a line on small chests of drawers it could buy cheaper than they could be built, $35 apiece, at IKEA in Bolingbrook. Once the ministry's board members realized it could build bed frames with about $60 in materials, they decided to invest a total of $6,000 to buy pillows and sheets as well and start sending families home with complete bedroom outfits for their children in 2016. "A lot of kids are sleeping on the floor and keeping their clothes in a cardboard box," said Jerry Aldridge, a member of the ministry's board. "Blankets for the beds are provided by the Midwest Mission Distribution Center of the United Methodist Church in Chatham." After seeking help from area churches, Aldridge said the all-volunteer Central Illinois Christians and Mission almost has enough funds for another round of 50 chests of drawers, beds, and bedding. The largest donation came from Life Foursquare Church. The design for the bed frame, which must be 5 inches longer than a standard twin bed, came from volunteer Bill Hadley's Head. He and John Hollingsworth build two or three beds every Tuesday and Thursday morning when the ministry is open, and take some of the work home, too. In family, Claudia Quigg. FOMO is a natural state of being. Poor Emmy, she's got it bad, and I'm not referring to the strep throat that's got her down for the count. While her throat hurts for sure, her heart hurts more. Emmy has a pretty tough case of FOMO, fear of missing out. As her big sister's social life carries on in an enviable way, poor Emmy must just watch from the sidelines. She missed ballet class as well as a special date with me, and that's not a new experience for her. Last month, Emmy's daddy took big sister Jane to a daddy-daughter dance. Jane had a new dress, and there was ice cream after. Alas, Emmy was too young. She could only gaze tearfully at Jane as she left, settling for a pleasant evening at home with Mom. Her mind was full of wonder of all she was missing. She had a bad case of FOMO that evening. Each of us who's grown up with an older sibling has suffered in the same way. We've watched as our brother or sister has ventured out into the world in a way we can only imagine. We younger ones have watched our siblings while they've gone to school where there were our mysterious activities such as recess and snack that sound too wonderful to imagine. We have waited in the bleachers as we cheer them on in swim class and baseball practice when we're too little to sign up. I vividly recall aching to take piano lessons when my big brother Dave loathed taking them. I imagined he was becoming a piano prodigy and just knew I couldn't possibly catch up. I had FOMO in a big way. I'll never forget my joy on that day, long ago Saturday morning, when my parents allowed me to go to his place, proudly bringing the beginner book he had used the year before. Young children are gifted with supersized curiosity. They are eager to move ahead to experience as much as they can as possible, quickly as possible. They know with certainty that the world holds much they haven't seen yet. Young children live every day with a fear of missing out. But increasingly, adults are also noted as having the FOMO syndrome, continually checking social media updates to learn what their friends are doing, feeling the need to attend every meeting at work, incessantly reconsidering career choices. All of these have been identified as adult experiences of FOMO. Grown-ups are increasingly showing signs that they too have a fear of missing out, leading some folks to feel continually frustrated and dissatisfied with their lives. In fact, FOMO has become so widely observed that the word FOMO was added to the Oxford English Dictionary in 2013. FOMO may be a syndrome for adults, but for young children it's the natural state of being. FOMO drives kids to learn, grow, and achieve. It leads them to aspire to greater experiences. It provides the necessary energy to propel them into the futures they seek. FOMO causes toddlers to fight bedtime and gets 10-year-olds out of bed too early on Christmas morning. But for Emmy and her other last-born children, FOMO is also a source of frustration. It's a good thing for them that the years fly by, piling those yearned-for experiences one upon another as a simple matter of time. Today in history, in 1776, General George Washington, commander of the Continental Army, was awarded the first Congressional Gold Medal by the Continental Congress. Which state is nicknamed the Silver State? Answer, Nevada. The name dates from a large amount of silver mining in the 1800s, most notably the Comstock Lode. We'll take a short break now and continue with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 25th, 2016. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.